sang out a song of the soul.
And we'll sing this song. Why don't you sing along? And we can sing.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. I'm grateful to have Greg Greenway sharing his music today for Song of the Soul, especially since I delayed so long in contacting him. You see, I first learned of Greg's work as part of Brother Son with Joe Jenks and Pat Wichter about 10 years ago. After that, there has been his work with Reggie Harris, who has also been my guest a couple of times, with the two of them performing as Deeper Than the Skin. I'm grateful that Greg has been successful in his wrestling with cancer, rising perennial in the face of adversity, so I could finally invite him to join us. There's a powerful current of love and connection throughout Greg's music, which you'll feel in this hour, and maybe it will energize you in that direction as well. While he's Virginia-born, much of his career has been in Massachusetts, though now he has moved back to Virginia and is growing in that ground. I had big help on today's show from Andrew Jansen. There is an uncut version of this interview with a bonus 13 minutes on northernspiritradio.org. We now head to Ashland, Virginia via Zoom for a visit with Greg Greenway. Welcome, Greg. It's great to have you here for Song of the Soul.
Thanks, Mark. This is the quickest turnaround, I think, of somebody I'd never met before, and now I'm being interviewed by you.
Yeah, it was amazing. I reached out to you. Are you always this organized?
No, especially not beforehand. But I mean, I've been through a lot in the last 2 years, so I'm kind of making a re-entrance into the music world again. I just did Falcon Ridge Folk Festival, which the post from that is what you saw, which reminded you of me. And so I am following up on absolutely everything, you know, because I've got to rebuild my schedule after 2 years of being off of it.
You know, I've never been to Falcon Ridge, the folk festival, but several of my friends, and of course I've got a lot of friends who are musicians from my 21 years of doing this show, and I saw pictures of several of them there and commented, connected. Tell me about Falcon Ridge Folk Festival. What's it like? How long? Is this a billion people show up?
It's not a billion. It has come in sort of two forms. In the beginning, they were at sort of a hillside farm situation. And then in the last 5 years, I believe, they moved it to a fairgrounds in upstate Connecticut. It's the northwest corner of Connecticut, really in the corner of New York, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. And it is, for me, a family gathering because it was like, I keep saying a re-entry, but I've done a lot of kinds of music. I started out totally as a folk singer, and then at a certain point, I had a rock band in Boston and went through that world and realized that not my planet. They didn't want me, and in the end, I didn't want them either. So love some of the music, but the scene, totally different. So when I re-entered and made my first record, Road Walking Down, my manager at the time sent my CD to, they had an emerging artist thing on Friday afternoon, like a lot of festivals have, and I got picked, and that really started all of this. So it's like a family reunion for me to go back there. This time, maybe I should just say, you know, what happened in my life, but I mean, I was diagnosed over 2 years ago with multiple myeloma, and that's a little bit of a shock because, A, I didn't know what it was. I did know that it was treatable but not curable. So I had to undergo the stem cell transplant process. So that just took me out of the world for, you know, a good year. And I couldn't really do anything unmasked until just recently. You know, this is sort of my second coming back to acoustic music from my career choice and then from my, my disease. So it was great to be back there. I couldn't tell you how many total people. It's not a huge festival now. It used to be pretty big. But what it is it's fantastic because the artists they pick really love playing there, and they do a really great job of mixing us up with workshops, you know, and having us sing against each other or with each other, etc. The last time I was there was just before I was diagnosed, and driving up in my car. I'm singing, you know, everything's great, you know, and then suddenly something just leapt on my throat and literally could not get rid of it. I had laryngitis for the entire festival, and that was really frustrating. So coming back this time with my full voice, you know, I had all my notes, I had all my energy, everything. And I had a lot of friends to sing with on stage. You know, at the end of my set, you know, Joe Jinks came up and sang In the Name of Love with me, something we did a million times in Brother Son. And my friend Cadence Carroll played percussion and sang. So that was just fantastic. And, you know, there were just people everywhere who knew my music and knew my history. So it was really a proud moment to get a standing O on my first set back and playing a lot of new music. So I just wanted to let them know that I ain't dead.
It's great to have you back. Then I think our listeners for Song of the Soul need to have a few samples of your music. They may or may not know Greg Greenway, even though you've got, what, 8 of your solo albums at least, 3 you did with Brother Son. Have you done with Reggie Harris?
I've done one with Reggie, yeah. We did a live one.
So maybe that makes it 12 albums that you're on?
Something like that.
Well, let's give people a taste of Greg Greenway. Where do we start?
Might as well start with the first one I sent you, In the Name of Love.
Tell me about this. It's got a pride in parentheses. What does that mean?
It was inspired by a U2 song that's called In the Name of Love. It's called Pride in the Name of Love, and the In the Name of Love is in parentheses. When the Folk Alliance, the National Folk Alliance, went to Memphis, right, I went to the National Civil Rights Museum, and that is the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, right, and walked through that, and so many people did the same thing. And we're all in this conference where we're all our business faces are on, but you go to see this incredibly emotional place that's a time capsule culminating in, you go through the bus that Rosa Parks sat on, you walk past the statues of the 4 kids in Carolina sitting at the Woolworth lunch counter getting pulled off and things dumped on them and harassed. And then you go up to the third floor, room 306, where Dr. King spent the last minutes of his life. On the PA system overhead is Mahalia Jackson singing Precious Lord, which he would call her up in the middle of the night and ask her to sing that when he needed strength. So to go through all of that, right, and then it was this incredibly subliminal energy at that Folk Alliance. And I was doing a workshop with 2 friends of mine, and I said to them, do you know Pride in the Name of Love? And we all knew the song, but we didn't know the lyrics. So we decided what we would do to express all of that emotion that we were feeling about being there in Memphis is that we sang that song. And the room was full of singers. I mean, it's the Folk Alliance, so it was just nothing but musicians around. And I'm telling you, when we got to that chorus, it was like the room just grew wings and took off. And so when I left that Folk Alliance, a friend of mine gave me the books on tape version, a constructed version of Dr. King's autobiography, his writings put together. And there were 6 speeches of him actually doing his speech. And in all 6 of them, he said, make a way out of no way. And I just knew that I had to write this song that would permanently ensconce it into my history, my musical history, that song would wait in that my guitar case every night when I open it, that I've got to rise up to that song, that I want to bring my audience there by hook or by crook. And so I'll never forget this. I was in Grace Norton Rogers Middle School in Hightstown, New Jersey, and I was warming up to go out and play a show, and I'd just been thinking, I need an R&B sounding guitar part that leads into the groove, or my version of the groove of that song. And I just, suddenly, it happened. And I was ecstatic. That's it. You know, it's like when you hook a very large fish. You know, you want to do nothing wrong. You don't want that thing to get off the hook. Well, I did not want this idea to escape me, so I wrote this song, and then I basically, the next Folk Alliance, you know, I brought it out. And then I think it was a big part of changing Brother Son's sets when we decided to do that at the end, because we all felt very strongly about what the song's talking about. But it just was the emotional punch at the end that, to me, our sets just hadn't achieved yet. And boy, did we get there, you know. And then we would do Joe's Lady of the Harbor, That's making people cry. And then we're doing Love is the Water by Pat. And then we would do In the Name of Love. And that, man, that was like boom, boom, boom. Suddenly, to me, that just took us up a whole notch.
We've kept you waiting long enough, listeners. In the Name of Love is the song by Greg Greenway, joining us here today for Song of the Soul. His website, greggreenway.com. Here is In the Name of Love.
When I get tired, it's like I was dropped into the sea. You could swim your whole life and be nowhere you want to be. Everyone gets tired and the water is so wide. Well, then somebody comes and shows you. They show you the other side. Was a little man, barefoot and frail. He took a walk down to the Ganges. He took a lion by the tail. He made a way out of no way. One by one they saw the truth. He was ready when they told him. They said, history chooses you. We see so far.
In the name of love,
we are standing on.
In the name of love,
the shoulders of giants.
One more.
The soldiers of love. And then there was another. Another lion and a lamb. He walked into the heart of darkness, into the streets of Birmingham. He made a way out of no way. One by one we saw the truth. He was already on the mountaintop when they said, Memphis chooses you. We see so far.
In the name of love,
we are standing on.
In the name of love,
the shoulders of giants.
One more.
The soldiers of love. In the name of love. In the name of love. For heroes, darkest hour of need.
You'll find a lot about Greg Greenway on his website, greggreenway.com. Any question about spelling, come via northernspiritradio.org. You'll find all our programs last 21 years, both for Song of the Soul and Spirit in Action. That was In the Name of Love. Greg's here with me. I'm so happy to have you here. How much of a mountain was it, Greg, between the onset when you were arriving at Falcon Ridge way back and all of a sudden you can't speak, can't sing, and when you're there this year? How many years was that?
It was 23 when I was there last and couldn't sing, so 3 years.
I just got to imagine that's got to be, when you can't do the thing that is you singing, I think.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not selling you short by saying that.
No.
I mean, you could still do keyboards, right?
Still play keyboards, still play guitar. And fortunately, you know, the Friday night when I was in the round with everybody, I said, I got nothing. You guys are going to have to get me through it. And they did. You know, the three other people on stage, and I would like to remember that now. They helped me frog through it. It was Mary Gaucher. I think it was Chris Matthews. And I think it was the Kennedys. They all just jumped up. And so I chose my songs that everybody can do. It's one of the big influences of mine from Reggie Harris that I do Deeper Than the Skin with. He's really taught me about the movement and movement songs and zipper songs, you know, songs that you can just immediately, the audience gets. And so, you know, Mighty Long Way is, we're going to hear that later. And I like to start the night with that because, A, it's a cappella. And, you know, people give you, like, unreasonable amounts of credit for singing a cappella when you're a singer. When you're a singer, that's the time you can hear yourself best, you know, singing a cappella. But then, you know, you just engage the audience and let them know that they're a part of this night, they're part of this song. I have several songs like that, so I could hand it over to the people who had voices. And some people said, you know, it was almost better like that, you know, because it was so great to see them helping you.
When I was in college at one point, there was a period where I had on and off of not exactly laryngitis. I had problems with my throat. But I went into a speech communications class one day. I'm listening to lecture and they ask questions. I raised my hand. I opened my mouth. I couldn't say a word. It's like, this is speech class. How can I not say a word in this one? It really is world changing to have that. Just a couple more things about In the Name of Love. You've been to the museum, you're seeing the stuff, it's affecting you that way. Does it go back for you, the connection with Gandhi or with MLK Jr., or is that more roots for you too?
Well, the roots come with the idea that I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, the ex-capital of the Confederacy. So what I was handed in my life was the story of the lost cause, that those statues on Monument Avenue were beautiful works of art and celebrations of, you know, the honor and glory of the Southern soldier. So you get that from all the people who know you and love you. And then life starts to look a little bit different than what you've been told. So I was a basketball player and a musician, so I crossed color lines in Richmond before a lot of people did. And, you know, and then you start looking at, you know, it creates an incredible conflict inside of you. There is a dissonance between what you've been told in this old pretty story about the South, which was reflected in the media in so many ways, but this romance of the South, and then you realize that this is about an economic system. This is about owning human beings. This is about, guess what? Being a slave owner has as much an effect on you in some way, morally, spiritually, every other way, as it does on the enslaved person. So if you're a culture that's based on that, take a look in the mirror. What's it doing to you? That became a big question for me. You know, and I'm 50 miles north of Jamestown, up the James River. You start this long journey, and that's when I met Reggie. You know, we were in the green room at the Village Gate in a famous jazz club. We had no business being in a jazz club, but it was a Phil Oakes song night, believe it or not. And Sunny Oaks had booked like 50 people, so there's plenty of time in the back room, in the green room, to talk. So Reggie's African-American, so we just started talking and just, boom, found out that we were born 3 days apart and had experience. He was born in Philly, but his ancestry, I'm sitting here in Ashland, Virginia. His ancestry started from a white Confederate brigadier general who impregnated an enslaved woman 6 times, and that's where his family started, 5 miles that direction. So we just had all of these things to talk about. We started talking about race almost immediately because it's been a big thing in my life, coming where I came from, that incredible sense of anxiety growing up in Richmond at that time. So, yes, it's been a very big part of it, and that's why I followed King's story, which led, of course, to Gandhi, who the story is amazing. If anybody wants to follow the skeletal structure of the civil rights movement, read a 3-book series by Taylor Branch called America During the King Years. That will answer all of your questions. It's an incredible piece of scholarship, but it just talks about when Dr. King was 17 years old in a seminary outside of Philadelphia, he went to see someone named Mordecai Johnson, who had just been to India and talked about passive resistance. And then King went out and went to the bookstore and bought everything he could read about Gandhi and passive resistance. And so there's this very famous picture of King in his office standing in front of a picture of Gandhi. And this, to me, is the beginning of how things get better. You understand and see the courage of people who've had to live under those conditions. And the whole, you know, where we live now in the world of ICE, you know, that the Supreme Court says it's okay to racially profile. This is just the strangest world imaginable to me. So I have to get well and keep singing because this is where I came from and this is where I want to go.
Well, then let's have you keep singing. What should we do next?
Well, you know, after just talking about that, I think we should do Big Wide World because that literally is my story. I took the first verses. Reggie and I do Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. And that's not a song I would sing as a white guy, but when Reggie and I sing it together, it's just so uplifting. So I took the first verses of Change Is Gonna Come, took the first line of the verse, and started off that lyric from, you know, and made it into my song. And so in there, a major quote is from Dr. King, where he said in Memphis, he said, "Why is he so confident that it's going to get better? The moral arc of the universe bends toward justice. Why? Because no lie can live forever." And that line just hit me in the chest, because no lie can live forever. And then I bounce over to Curtis Mayfield for a little bit for the bridge. So this is a song constructed by several heroes of mine, but it tells you about my upbringing, my life.
We'll do it with Big Wide World by Greg Greenlee.
I was born by the river where the boats could go no farther, and the history flowed like water. Through my mother and my father, they said nothing good comes easy in the land of the free. And those folks over yonder are not like you and me. It was too hard living with what I was told. Heads were shaking at the newspapers and the radio, like the whole world had gone crazy when they heard that man say, "Change gonna come, oh yes it will. It's in it right this way. It's a big wide world for all to see beyond these walls built inside of you. Been raised to an art, but no lie can live forever without killing your heart. No lie can live forever without killing your heart." There were times that I thought I could leave it all behind. I could find the highway, cross the state line. You could drive your whole life, no matter how far. There's no map in the world
people's hearts. No map in the world of people's hearts. It's a big wide world,
big wide
for all
world
to see. Beyond these walls, built inside of you and me. Half of the story has been raised to an art, but no lie can live forever without killing you. After all this time, it's the statues that have fallen in that hometown of mine. And that river keeps on flowing right on down to the sea. And those folks over yonder are still dying to be free. Those folks over yonder are dying to be free. It's a big wide world,
big wide world.
Inside of you and me, the half of the story has been raised to an art, but no lie can live forever without killing your heart.
Big wide world,
big wide world.
Half of the story,
no lie can live forever without killing.
As you Song of the Soul listeners heard, Greg Greenway is telling his life, his being, his change, his becoming in that song, Big Wide World, from the album Between Hello and Goodbye, which is released, by the way, I think 2023, which that's right when the multiple myeloma is hitting you. So, wow, all that you're becoming, and you, it's like there's a change coming.
Yeah,
probably the myeloma was not the change that you were hoping for at that point.
Nope.
I want to ask you a thing or two right after I remind listeners that this is Song of the Soul. I've been going 21 years. Our website is northernspiritradio.org. And it's maybe ironic that I'm talking to, I guess, a southerner from Virginia, right? But the Northern actually has to do with the Quaker group I'm associated with, Northern Yearly Meeting, and with Northern Thunder, which is a local activist group, environmental and that kind of thing. So that's where the Northern was born of. Our website, northernspiritradio.org, has all of these guests for Song of the Soul and Spirit in Action the last 21 years, links to the guests. So when you want to get a hold of Greg Greenway, greggreenway.com. It's pretty straightforward. Tracks down, listen to more music, and Greg's got something like 12 albums out there, solo and with other folks. So track them down via his website and those two other sites with Reggie Harris. It's deeperthantheskin.com, and with Joe Jenks and Pat Wichter, it was brothersun.com. great music in all those places. When you come to our site after listening to this program, please post comments. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know who else we should be interviewing. Let us know which community radio station where you live should be carrying our programs. Our shows are carried on some 38, or actually maybe it's 39 now, stations across the U.S. And maybe there's a community radio station in your area should be carrying it. Alternate media sources are so important right now. And I'm afraid that the big networks have all been bought by billionaires who have vested interests in not serving our best interests. So please support your community radio stations, support your alternative musicians, and please support NordenspiritRadio.org. You can do that via our site. Your community radio station will welcome your hands and your wallet if you can help. Whatever way you can help move their project forward, it'll be good for the world. So like I said, we were just talking about Big Wide World, and you're giving your history there, and I didn't see any mention of your Sunday school classes and how you learned how to make this Big Wide World so good. Tell me why that's not there.
My parents tried, well, especially my mother, tried to get me to go to a Baptist church. And I should say an unair-conditioned Baptist church in Richmond. It was a struggle. Yeah, I have a song on the Brother Son record called I Won't Look Down, and it comes from Gandhi's statement, you should never look down on someone other than to help them up. And yeah, the song starts out basically talking about, you know, they tried to raise me up in a house like this. Love for your fellow man with an asterisk. Because that's kind of what it was, and everybody was all holy and Christian between the hour of 11 and 12. And then I saw a lot of hypocrisy and racism going on outside of that, and a lot of violence. Just a lot of violent culture around where I grew up.
Well, you can make us happy if you do share another song.
Yeah, and not to make everybody think that I'm just a complete, you know, political being. I really think of myself as a poet. This next song, I think, is Hello, Hello, Hello. It just describes, you know, how I felt on stage at Falcon Ridge, the joy of being able to go back out into the world and see everybody and be amongst the people and be amongst, you know, do what I do. And the song came out of the pandemic. And, of course, then I was stuck here, and I was new to here, new to Richmond, because I'd spent most of my life in Massachusetts. So I never, ever thought I'd come back south. Just never, ever thought I would. So that's a lot of what this song is about, is, you know, I would never, once I would not be caught dead in a place like this. Now I'm glad to be found here alive, you know, and I've found meaning here, as you do anywhere when you find the right people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I waded into the shadows, a warm September day. The sun slanted down on this little town like a friend from far away. Once I would not have been caught dead in a place like this. Now I'm glad to be found here alive. It's hard to explain it. I thought that I became and now I'm late. But I finally arrived. So hello, hello, hello. It's so good to see your smile. I would not have made it all of this way without these good friends of mine. Such a long, long time. Your faces are the moon and the stars of my September sky. I can't walk in a straight line without going in circles, my friend. All around me, everything is moving beyond my approving, past where the sidewalk ends. Now it's more than a children's story, but it's less than a hero's tale. It's just what you see here, it's just you and me, filling in the details. So hello, 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 so good to see your smile. I would not have made it all of this way without these good friends of mine. Faces are the moon
my September sky. Come September, sleep so deep, yellow lines on the freeway invade my dreams. Familiar when the shadows grow deep and long, like a stone thrown in a pool of memories, and the ripples go on and on. There are only three verses in this song, my friend. You're born, you live, and you die, and so much has to happen between hello and goodbye. So much has to happen. A long, long time. Your faces are the moon and the stars in my September sky. Your faces are the moon and the stars in my September sky.
I get joy thinking of Greg Greenway being able to find the smiles and the blue sky and the moon, the stars down in Richmond, Virginia, after his sojourn in the northern areas. Your accent, by the way, would not betray any Virginian accent to me. Did you have one, then you eradicated or something?
That's exactly what happened. A big influence on me in high school was the guy who grew up in Ohio. And he just sounded so smart compared to the rest of us. But the thing of it is if you have a Southern accent, people will make assumptions about that extending to your belief system. So if you don't have it, then they don't include you in the old boy group. And that's not just racism. That's sexism. That's all kinds of isms that are contained in the culture. Now, I'm not saying everybody, that doesn't speak for everybody. So it was my experience where I grew up in South Richmond, not the most shining of places. And so, I mean, I grew up down the Jefferson Davis Highway. So a lot of pissed off people and a lot of pissed off white males who felt that their privilege was being interrupted. You know, when they saw Cassius Clay become Muhammad Ali, you know, like, what's that all about? And suddenly, you know, he's being treated like a human being. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was Lew Alcindor. What's this all about? What's this all about? Well, all the music people were just cool about this. But I just think that I wanted to disassociate myself from that culture. I just wanted somebody to immediately know that I did not ascribe to all of those concomitant attitudes.
Well, let's keep going to some more of the music of Greg Greenway. Again, for Song of the Soul today, we're speaking with Greg Greenway, currently situated in Ashland, Virginia, after a long sojourn up in Massachusetts. But his origins are right there in Virginia. What's next, Greg?
I wanted to play one of my most poetic songs, most influenced by poetry. I was an English lit major at the College of William & Mary, so I actually want to use this. It affected my sensibilities in a major way, and This is a song that I wrote for my mom that started out as a poem called Show Business. And it's very short. It just says, the unanswerable pokes holes in our constructed reality. However much gold and martyrdom we pour in, a hole is still a hole. Still, the curtain goes up every day. So the idea, you know, my mom was not educated, not to say that she wasn't smart. No, she sure was. But once I went to college and sort of went off on my own plane like that, she really didn't get me. You know, she just, my world separated from hers. And it was very painful. I mean, she was brilliant in her own way. I mean, she would come to my concert and she really didn't know what the hell I was talking about in my lyrics. And I said, Mom, don't worry. A lot of people don't. But she was great. She said, after our concert, I said, well, what'd you think, Mom? And this is the perfect mom answer. She said, the people really liked you. Crafty, crafty. That was good mom craft right there. But as I would go back to see her, visit her in Richmond from Boston, you know, I could see her getting more and more feeble. And I realized at a certain point that we had to make our peace together. And that's what this song is about. Is the first two verses are about me describing the universe. And then the third is about me saying, I so appreciate what you did for me. You allowed me to do something that you could never do, which is, you know, take this incredible chance.
And where do the feathers come from?
Well, I have a friend who is an incredible poet and short story writer named Geraldine Mills in Ireland. And I happened to be her interviewer. And I had my fingers crossed. It's like, oh my God, I have to do this interview on a cable show. And I said, I really hope I like her poetry because I'm really picky. And I loved her writing. Her writing was fantastic. But she has a book of short stories which she gave me called The Weight of Feathers. And so it was a story about Daedalus crashing into a woman's garden. And as she heals him and gets him back to health, they talk about, you know, Icarus, his son crashing into the sea, et cetera, et cetera. And so I emailed her and said, do you mind if I use this title because it's so apt for what I want to write this song about? And she said, absolutely, send it to me. And I just think it's one of the most beautifully written things I've ever done. So I thank her, Geraldine Mills. Look her up if you're a literary person, because she's a beautiful writer.
Let's go flying with Greg Greenway, The Weight of Feathers.
You are never in the same place twice as balls of fire and balls of ice spin in space of their own device. Somehow it holds together, and all the creatures, great and small, imagine life before the fall. They see their own and then guess it all. Somehow it holds together. The time will come when the winds arise. You stare across the great divide and jump the cliffs with a dream to fly without knowing the weight of feathers. The curtains rise and the story's told. The gaps are filled with blood and gold. Martyrs mask the remaining holes. Somehow it holds together. Old men in their drafty homes with crowded heads and achy bones, knowing all anyone could know, part of them young forever. They've earned their peace with an empty sky, with broken hearts, with battle cries. The day they jump the cliffs with a dream to fly without knowing the weight of feathers. Fly. Thank you.
I'll take with me your deep blue eyes, your fondest hopes, your best advice. We've disagreed almost all our lives, but how could that ever matter? All those years just to provide for me the thing you could never try. To jump the cliffs with a dream to fly without knowing the weight of fears. Oh yes, I jump the cliffs with a dream to fly without knowing the weight of fears.
I hope, folks, you found that as profound as I did. It's by Greg Greenway, called The Weight of Feathers. The understanding of flying comes when you know what's has pulled you down to the earth, too. I don't think anyone grows up except that they know where down is. And I think that that song teaches us a lot about that. And it's from Greg's album, Standing on the Side of Love. Greg's got at least 8 personal albums and 3 with Brother Sun and 1 with Reggie Harris. You can explore them all via his website, greggreenway.com. I've got the link, of course, on northernspiritradio.org, including information leading up to The Weight of Feathers. One thing you said earlier, Greg, I wanted to explore. I happen to be Quaker. And by the way, when my wife, before I ever knew her, got involved with Quakers, her parents, who were part of a Presbyterian church, had raised her Presbyterian, were all concerned she got involved with some kind of cult of some sort. When they were at our wedding, they were very moved by it. Her father said something very interesting. He says, well, the whole silent Quaker stuff, which is the way we do it, he says, it's not my thing, but I can see so much why it's your thing. To have that understanding of someone else, even though it's not you, that's a super generous and wonderful thing to see in the world.
Yeah, wonderful that he would make that step towards you.
Yeah, he had a big heart, and he also had a big stomach for candy. So, you know, there's a way to get good things in you. Well, Greg, we should get in your one last song that you're going to share today. Could you tell folks why you chose to include in your Song of Soul, Mighty Long Way? Tell us why you included this one.
Well, because it's so much a part of my live show, and I write for my live show. I don't write to be a single cut on the radio. I write to be my songs to be a part of a show that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So to see the back and forth with a live audience, I think that's very important. But also, I had a friend who met Representative John Lewis, and John Lewis took him up to his office in the Capitol building and said, look at the office they gave me. It looks straight down the mall to the Lincoln Memorial. And I thought about this. John Lewis, when he was young, grew up in Troy, Alabama, heard Martin Luther King on the radio and said, this is what I want to do with my life. Joined SNCC. He was on the dais in August of 1963, who spoke before Dr. King's I Have a Dream. And you can see, if you go back on YouTube and look at him giving his speech, you can see how restrained he has to be, because he was going to give a speech about how his coworkers were being shot, beaten up, killed, and he was kind of done with it. Well, the big guns from that day in Washington pulled him aside and said, you can't do that. Today is about I Have a Dream. That's what's going to be in the newspapers tomorrow. But when you see, you know, that man giving a speech as a young man, and then you see him later talking, and you see that incredible acceptance of at all the things he's been through, the idea that he could sit in his office and look down there and say, it's a mighty long way from there to here, from down there, from where I started to where I'm sitting right now. And we all are in that same position. We're a mighty long way from where we were, that's for sure, but we still have a mighty long way to go.
You've come a mighty long way, and I'm very grateful that you've made your music deeper than the skin. Growing up in Richmond, Virginia, going north, coming back to the South, it shows a journey of vision, I think, happening in your life. It's not what you envisioned, but I think the vision, you know, I think just like the flowers that you planted before you got sick. The seeds we plant are the things that are most important and enduring in the world. And I think you're in a very good seed bed. By the way, I know some very fine folks there. I visited the Quaker meeting there in Richmond, Virginia, as well. And so I know there's wonderful, good folks wherever you go. And the fact that you're there and energizing that seedbed, I think, speaks volumes in the right direction.
Yeah, and you got to connect me to your buddies down here because I need to talk to them.
It's great connecting with you, Greg. And I'm so glad that Joe Jenks, through Brother Son, introduced me to you. I'm sorry that my response time of 9 years is nothing close to your three-day response turnaround. It was amazing. I'm so thankful you could do that, that you did reach out and do that. I'm just so grateful to have you here as my guest for Song of the Soul.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. What a pleasure.
And we end with Greg Greenway's song. Remember his website, greggreenway.com, the links on northernspiritradio.org. We end up with Mighty Long Way, and we'll see you next week for Song of the Soul.
Oh, it's a mighty long way, ooh, from over yonder. It's a mighty long way from there to here. We're gonna take it. Oh, yes, one step at a time, so that we can make that walk from there to here. Here's how it works. It's a mighty long way.
It's a mighty long way
from over yonder.
From over yonder.
It's a mighty long way.
It's a mighty long way
from there to here.
There to here.
We're gonna take it. Oh, yes, one step at a time, so that we can make that walk from there to here. Every child born is a revolution, is a revolution with a song inside. Some won't hear it, oh, some hear nothing else. He'll sing night and day just to keep that song alive. Oh, it's a mighty long way.
It's a mighty long way
from over yonder.
Over yonder.
Now it's a mighty long way.
It's a mighty long way
from there to here. We're gonna take it. Oh, yes, one step at a time, so that we can make that walk from there to here. Now when you got a dream, you got to stand up and shout it loud and clear. What's that I'm hearing? It's the voice of the people singing that we will make that walk from there to here. Oh, it's a mighty long way.
It's a mighty long way
from over yonder.
Over yonder.
It's a mighty long way.
It's a mighty long way
from there to here. We're gonna dig it. Oh, yes, one step at a time, so that we can make that walk from there to here. One last time. It's a mighty long way.
Long way
from over yonder.
From over yonder.
It's a mighty long way.
It's a mighty long way
from there to here. We're gonna dig it. Oh, yes, one step at a time, so that we can make that walk from there to here. So that we can make that walk from there to here. So that we can make that walk from there to here.
The theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org. Guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.